Our lesson for the morning is the sacrifice of atonement in the text is Leviticus chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, which in the New King James Version of the Bible read as follows. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson and our walk through the Bible, let us reiterate our reason for coming to church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, after the death of Aaron's two oldest sons, God spent some time with Moses and Aaron outlining the rules and regulations for the worship of God in the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8 through 11 tells us, then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. Now, this passage of Scripture may shed some light on why the sons of Aaron failed to use proper authorized fire to burn incense before the Lord. It could be that Aaron's two sons were under the influence of alcohol when they went in to offer incense to the Lord, and in their inebriated state, they picked up the wrong fire. Of course, the Bible does not say that exactly, but it is a reasonable speculation, considering that the admonition to not consume intoxicating drink before going into the tabernacle comes immediately after the death of Aaron's sons. Now, in Leviticus chapter 11, the Lord gives Moses and Aaron the list of what foods could and could not be eaten. Now, the list is relevant for health reasons, and I'm sure that if you restricted your diet to only the foods specified in Leviticus 11, you would have the optimal diet for a human being. And after God gave Moses and Aaron the list, he said to them in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 46 and 47, this is the law of the animals and of the birds and every living creature that moves in the water and of every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. Now, in Acts chapter 10, verse 9 through 16, the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter, taking away the ceremonial restrictions of Leviticus 11 from the Jewish church. The Bible says, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, the ultimate point of this passage of Scripture was to show Peter that the Gentiles are eligible for church membership and not automatically ceremonially unclean, as Gentiles were considered unclean by the Jews. But the direct point that the scripture makes is that God's expectation of the enforcement of the Levitical laws is at an end, and as he has cleansed that which was unclean by Jesus' death on Calvary. Now, Leviticus 12 describes the ritual cleansing for women which were to undergo after bearing a child. Leviticus 13 and 14 describes the process for dealing with leprosy. Leviticus 15 describes the process for dealing with bodily discharges. Now, we're not going to cover the details of any of these processes, as they are not relevant to our New Testament circumstances. You may choose to read them, as there is probably some good information about purification for health reasons, but the laws have little theological significance for the church. Leviticus 16, however, has a great deal of theological significance for the church. The subject of this chapter is the institution of the holiest ceremony in Judaism, the Day of Atonement. This ceremony, performed by the high priest in the most holy place, the inmost chamber of the tabernacle, provided ceremonial atonement annually for the sins of the people of Israel. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat.'" Now, the scripture refers to the death of Aaron's two sons to reinforce the fact that Aaron, the high priest, as well as those who follow him as the high priest, were to follow these instructions exactly. The atonement for the sins of the people was not to be done at just any time, but God had a specific date for this annual ceremony in mind. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29 through 31 tells us, "This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever." So now, other than on the 10th day of the 7th Jewish month of the year, Aaron the high priest was not to enter the most holy place, the inmost part of the tabernacle. Now, the ritual that Aaron was to perform on that date to make atonement for Israel was specific, as described by the rest of Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16, 3 through 5 reads, "Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place, with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body, and he shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on, and he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering." Now, the bull and the two rams designated in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1 through 5, correspond with that which is required for the consecration of priests in Exodus 29, 1 through 4. And as Aaron prepares for this ritual, he was to put on the garments of an ordinary priest, not his high priestly garments with the ephod, the breastplate, and the blue robe. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 6 through 11 tells us, "Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. Now the blood of Aaron's bull provided atonement for the house of Levi, the men who are involved in the priestly order. The blood of the goat that was sacrificed was to provide atonement for the sin of the nation of Israel, and the scapegoat was to carry the sins of the nation of Israel into the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 tells us, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So sin is so serious to God that he requires that blood be shed to atone for it. Now Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12 and 13 continues. Then Aaron shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. Now the mercy seat is the covering over the ark that contains the tablets upon which God wrote the Ten Commandments. This is the meeting place of the law of God that defines sin, and the mercy of God that allows atonement for sin. Since the presence of the Lord is in this most holy place, the mercy seat must be obscured from the vision of the priest by the cloud of incense, because as God tells Moses in Exodus 33:20, but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So now once the view of the mercy seat is obscured, Aaron continues the ritual in the most holy place that provides atonement. Leviticus chapter 16, verses 14 through 17, 20 and 22, and 27 and 28 says, Aaron shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions, for all their sins, and so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of all their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he might make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. Now, we've just read a detailed account of the annual ceremony intended to cleanse the nation of Israel from sin. Now, along with this ceremony, there were many other ceremonies and sacrifices in the tabernacle to worship God and to cleanse individuals from their individual sins. But ultimately, all of the rituals of the Israelites performed by Aaron were unsuccessful, as they did not achieve their intended purpose. God defined the Levitical priesthood to Moses, Aaron, and the Israelites by this system of laws and sacrifices, but the original priest mentioned in the Bible was not Aaron, but Melchizedek. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Psalm 110, verse 4 teaches us that the priestly order of Melchizedek is eternal. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, this eternal priest, after the order of Melchizedek, is Jesus Christ himself, the sinless Son of God, who did not offer an animal sacrifice, but offered the sacrifice of his own blood on the cross of Calvary to cleanse us from our sins. And although Jesus died, as did all those animals, he rose from the dead so that his priesthood would be eternal after the order of Melchizedek. Although Jesus shed his blood, as did all those animals, his body was not taken outside of the camp and burned, but he was raised from the dead. Jesus' resurrection is permanent, and he does not have to be sacrificed over and over again, as were the Levitical sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11 through 19 tells us, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the Lord, of the law. For Jesus, of whom these things are spoken, belongs in another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And yet, it is far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Now, the human Levitical priesthood was intended to be temporary because the priest had to die and the animal sacrifices that they offered were ineffectual at cleansing us from sin. If the sacrifices had actually been effective, they would not have had to been offered over and over. This Levitical priesthood, that is, the priesthood of the tribe of Levi, first led by Aaron, was intended to be temporary until the true permanent priest, after the order of Melchizedek, came. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 through 28 describes, by so much more, Jesus has become the surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many Levitical priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as did those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Now, God explains the difference between the Old Testament covenant of Levitical sacrifices and the New Testament covenant of Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 through 13, which says, now the main point of the things we are saying, we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For God said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because, finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So now the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant is that in order to participate in the new covenant with God, we must actually have a personal relationship with the Lord. There is no ritual, no sacrifice, no shedding of blood that can substitute for our actually having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13 tells us that the relationship is both in mouth and in our heart. The Bible says, "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, 'Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, to bring a sacrifice to God in the days of the Levitical priesthood, you did not have to know the priest personally, nor did you have to know God. But you simply had to bring your animal to be sacrificed. Your allegiance to God was defined by the unblemished nature of the animal that you brought and the accuracy with which the priest adhered to the steps of the ritual. But by contrast, in the days in the new priesthood of Jesus Christ, there is no animal to bring, because the blood required was shed once for all by Jesus Christ on Calvary. And there is no ritual to perform, because ultimately God does not want a ritual in which the blood of an animal is shed, but he wants us to be human sacrifices, to give ourselves to him as the Israelites gave their animals to him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 5 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So God does not want sacrifices, but the use of our gifts for the building of his kingdom. We are not to participate in worship through the actions of the priest, but we are to participate personally through our upbuilding of the world. Romans chapter 6, 12, verse 6 through 21 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, this is true Christianity. The true sacrifice of Christianity is not ritual, but personal. The gifts that we give as Christians are not animal sacrifices, but love and good deeds. The ceremonial laws and sacrifices of the old covenant made by Moses on Mount Sinai have given way to the law of love given by Jesus Christ in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, which says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So let us show the world our disciples, our discipleship by our actions and not our rituals. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the history of the Old Testament that we can compare to the doctrine of the New Testament, and that we can come to the conclusion that the plan that you have given us is associated with the plan that you gave Moses, and that your plan is an historical one, one that has lasted through the centuries, because we know that you are still working out your plan in our lives. And we ask you, Lord, that you would give us the intestinal fortitude to cooperate with your plan. Help us to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Help us to be indwelled by the blessed Holy Spirit, that we might be able to live lives that are worthy of our calling as Christians. Help us to follow the instructions that are given in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans as we live our lives, that we might be able to have a glorious testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace and how it has affected us. Now, Lord, we ask that you bless all that are in the house today. Give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place and bring us back once again at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, and thank God, and praise God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for the message and for the lively discussion that you have given us today. Help us to be able to understand your word in a straightforward manner, and help us to recognize and realize that which you are telling us. We know that there are many in the world that have personal opinions that differ with the scripture. And we ask you, Lord, today that you would weigh on their hearts and help them with their minds, that they might recognize the reality of what you have said, and that they might formulate things in a way that would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we're praying for Rick over in Germany. We ask you to bless him in his military career and keep him safe from the bombs and the bullets and the guns that are going off in his area. Praying for Carlos and for Courtney. We thank you for that. He's doing well. For Brian Maynard and for Nikki Owens, for Eric as well. We continue in prayer for Sean McTaggart's mother, who's doing better in her situation. We thank you for the blessing that you have given her, and we ask that you would continue to nurse her back to health. Praying for Sister Allen and her family, for her sons and for her son-in-law and her daughter. Also for Sister Harris. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless her, that you would give her cousin more time to prepare food for her, and that you would bless the cook in the facility that she's in so that they might make food that Sister Harris would like more. We thank you that Brother Hersey's doing better, and we ask you, Lord, that you would bless Sister Julia Williams as she is going on, as she's having a new experience with the church. We're praying for Jamisha's Ruffles and Lace, and we ask you, Lord, that you would allow the store to have a good year. Let some come in and make their store a normal place that they visit and buy from. We ask you, Lord, that you would increase their business, increase their walk-through traffic and their institutional traffic, that the store might prosper, that they might do well in that venue. Lord, we thank you for the success, for the excitement that Janelle has had this week or recently. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to keep her focused on that which she is doing in Missouri, that she might be able to one day maybe be at the level of the young man that she had a chance to sit down with and converse with. And we ask you that you just bless her, give her that steel trap mind, that she might be able to take in all of those academic concepts with which she's being presented and regurgitate them back to the teacher at the appointed time and just do excellently on her examinations. Praying also for Brother Stephen Rogers, for Brother Kevin Pierce, and we thank you that Sister Maddie McClure is here today, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would bless her, keep her health in check, and allow her to enjoy her time here in Lansing, give her an enjoyable trip as she visits here today. Also praying for Brother Malcolm Suber and his family, for Sister Geraldine Parks, for Brother Julius Smith, and for Sister Frieda Durham. And we're asking you that you would bless Darius Lee, who's out at the University of Pennsylvania, that you would give him academic experiences that might prepare him for the next step and the next level as he goes forward. Just bless him out there. I know he has a lot of activities going on, and we ask you that you give him good time management skills, that he'd be able to get all of his extracurricular activities done as well as concentrating on his academic studies to a good level. Praying also for Brother and Sister Winston, Lord, we ask you that you would bless them, for Sister Donna Powell as well, and Sister Lynn, who's taking chemotherapy. And we ask you, Lord, that you would intervene in that treatment regimen, that it might be effective, and that the things that you have given the doctors to heal us physically would work on her behalf, and we thank you for her as well. Now we're praying for Paul and his company. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to bless them, that you would give Paul traveling mercies as he goes up and down the dangerous highways, and we ask you that you keep his truck on the road, let it get to where he needs to go, and then you would give him excellent solutions for the technical problems with which he is presented. Let he and his partner work on those things and increase and grow and prosper their business as well. And Lord, we're praying for the Rodriguez family, for Brother Tyson, for Mother Z, for Mother Versa, for Osas, for Ben, for Sister Johnny Mae Wells. And we thank you, Lord, for all of them, and we ask you to meet their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. For Brother Smith, and we ask you that you, wherever he may happen to be, that you'd bless him as well. And Sister Brenda Carr, that you would go and stand by her. And we pray for all the ones that I've asked, that I'm praying for Mom and for Dad and for Marvin. I'm just asking you that you bless my family, for Aunt Naomi, that you would give them that which they need in their situations. Give them peace and comfort and love and time with one another. We thank you for the leisure that you have given them after long years of service. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to go with them and stand by them. Bless Marvin in his occupation. Help him, Lord, that he might do well as an administrator in that college, and that he might sidestep all of the political pitfalls that may come in his way. Help him to be in good with those other members of the administration, that he might do well in his job as well. And bless those students that are under his charge, that they might be able to understand what he's saying in no uncertain terms, that they might be able to remember those things and grab onto the wisdom that he's giving them, that their lives may grow and prosper because of his teaching. Pray for the Perkins. We pray for Brother Northern and his family, for Brother and Sister Fuller across the street. We ask you to bless their store as well. Sister Janet Morgan and the Beard family, we ask you to bless them. Let that young man continue to grow and do well in school. Praying for Brother and Sister Webb, we ask you that you look in on them in their situation, that you would guide them and direct them in all that they do as well, and all that they've asked us to pray for. Also praying for Dr. Allen and for all of those who are under his charge in his organization, and all those who are under his charge at the university. And we're asking you, Lord, to let him be an excellent administrator. Give him good arguments to make when it comes time for him to make them, and allow his organization to grow and prosper as they tackle the political issues of the day. Also praying for Sister Diane and her son Alexander, Sister Diane Flanagan and her son Alexander. We ask you to bless his leg, help it to continue to heal. I understand he's doing well with it, and I ask you that you would continue to strengthen him and bring him back to full strength, that he might participate as any young man would want to participate in the things that go on in his young life. Also praying for Deanna. We ask you, Lord, that you would give her a renewing of the mind, that she might be able to understand what life is about. And rather than reacting to what happens to her out of some fear or anger, that she would be able to control her situation and do that which is not destructive to her, but that which is best for her, notwithstanding the fact that she has some negative circumstances in her life. Pray for Brother Nate Connor, for Sister Cheryl Potts, for Sister Diane Ezell, Sister Lilla Simpson. And we ask, Lord, that you bless Sister Frazier as well, Sister Viola Frazier, Brother and Sister Price, Brother Archie Peterson, Brother Lewis Crawford. And now, Lord, we pray for the television station and those who are downtown in the city hall making decisions about the future of the station. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless them and let them know that there are many in this town that watch that television station, and that it would not be a good thing to do anything to damage the station or its ability to broadcast. As these new contracts are going through, we ask you that you would look in on them and keep that station on the air as well. Pray for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for all those who are victims of hurricanes, who are stressed out across the country. We ask that you bless in those cases and bring them back home to their places of domicile as swiftly as those places can be restored, and allow them to enjoy life in the places where they are. Also for our armed forces, either here or there, or wherever they may happen to be, that you would keep them safe, Lord, that you would allow the bombs and the bullets to go around them and miss them, and that you would allow the enemy to not be able to work their military strategies, but just allow them to fail, that our forces might be victorious. Praying also for the young men and women in our neighborhood and for the salvation of our families and friends. We thank you, Lord, for the little place that you've given us here, for all of the things that we have that might make the word clear, that might make the place comfortable, that might make us happy to come here. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us, and we ask you to continue to go with us and stand by as we try to put forward the gospel of Jesus Christ and make it clear and understandable. And now, Lord, we pray for all that are in the house, and I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life, and I ask you to bless her, Lord, as she is still over there at the secondary complex holding down the fort. And we ask, Lord, that you would give her enough gravitas that she could keep it held down in a good way, that everybody would be pleased with that which she does, and that she might do an efficient and effective job over there. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, and thank God. The Levitical sacrifices described in the book of Leviticus were never effective for cleansing them from their sins. They had to be offered over and over again because the blood of bulls and goats did not really have any effect on them. But in the New Testament dispensation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that we might have a right and a just right to the tree of life. Our salvation is because of his sacrifice, and our life ought to be a testament to that which he has done for us by cleansing us of our sins. So let us remember him now, all that he did for us out on Calvary. Let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. Now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest on the Bible with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.